Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 107. God is good. Isn't that true? I had the opportunity to speak at the Health Central Park with a dear godly saint from Long Island, New York. I don't oftentimes get to meet many New Yorkers in the nursing home, especially here in Health Central Park. She was from Nassau County, but she was sharing with me the fact that she had been a registered nurse, had served and worked with the OBGYN all the way to the obstetrics and all the way into gerontology and all age groups. And she said, you know, Pastor John, I have one-tenth of my heart that is operative. Now, don't ask me how one-tenth of your heart can be working, 90% of it not be working, and you're still looking as good as she was looking. She was all of 82 pounds, but she truly looked like one of those old-fashioned nurses that you would see wearing white with the cap that goes on the head. And she was in her 90s, and she was sharing with me the goodness of God and how appreciative she was of being able to be there at Health Central Park with such dear friends, many of which knew Christ as personal Savior. And I heard her worshiping the Lord with the sacrifice of praise. And dear child of God, tonight I can't tell you how it is so, but I left more encouraged than I try to be an encouragement to those that I go to visit. And I'm sure, Brother Dick, you find this oftentimes when you meet a child of God, praising God, perhaps even in the midst of adversity and difficulty, they rise above those circumstances and they are praising God. And you leave more invigorated and more excited about serving God because you see the truths that they have lived and that you've preached and believed so true in their lives. And the psalm that we have before us is intended to just bring us to the place of being thankful for the goodness of God. The children of Judah had been in captivity for their sins. They had been carried away and suffered for 70 years, and now God, the God of the second chance, brings them back to liberty, brings them back to the place where they can regather together. And the children of Israel are being thankful for God's goodness and God's forgiveness. We're going to be looking at this psalm, and the first thing that I want you to notice is the call to praise. There's a call to praise. Sometimes we can forget to praise the name of our Lord, and I want to challenge you today with a call to praise. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you know what? You're going to find that all of the problems that were weighing you down will grow strangely dim. The call to praise is the first thing I want you to notice. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Let me encourage you to be one of those that encourages people to give thanks unto the Lord. Well, it's not Thanksgiving, Pastor John. Well, don't wait till November. Every day is Thanksgiving when you have an ever-living Savior. Because He lives, every day is Thanksgiving, because every day comes from the hand of a loving God who loves you. And we are called to Thanksgiving. In your prayer time today, let's be thankful for the many blessings that are ours. Let's be thankful for prayer partners that we can come together with and give thanks to the Lord for. Here, there's the call to praise. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. But you know, there's a cause for praise. It's not a groundless, mindless praise, but there's a cause and a reason for it. It says, "For He is good." He is good. I like that little chorus, "God is good, God is good." He's good all the time. And you know, He blesses in my life. And I know that He blesses in your life. in so many ways. As undeserving as we may be, He'll provide and guide and put food on your table where you don't know where it's going to come from. He'll help you with that insurance bill, and He'll help you to somehow get gas in the car, and He'll help you to somehow get some more rubber on the tires, you know, where you can go down the road a little longer. And God always provides for His. He is good. You know how many times the goodness of God is mentioned here in Psalm 107? Look at verse 1. He's good. Look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 9. He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. There's another reference to goodness. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for what? For His goodness. But what do we choose to do sometimes? We want to stew around in our own gravy. We want to draw the blinds around us. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to live melancholic lives that attract no one to Christ or to the gospel. And you know what? Some of us live the God is dead theology of the 60s. Sad to say. Isn't that sad? But you know, look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. So there's the call to praise and there's the cause to pray. Why? Because God is good, and it's mentioned six times. Just to remind us. Now, if the Holy Spirit reminds us six times about the goodness of God, you think that's a good idea that we kind of emphasize that in our lives? Meditating? Maybe we could take the goodness of God six times, 6 days, and then it leads us to rest. I like that. You know, we can rest upon the goodness of God. Don't lose your place in Psalm 107, but look at chapter 33 of Psalm, verse 5. Psalm 33 and verse 5. The Word of God reads in Psalm 33, 5, He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Everywhere we turn, the rising of the sun, the beautiful sunset, the beauty of nature around us, the joy of having brothers and sisters in Christ and the body of Christ, the earth is just full of the goodness of God. And you know, even the unbeliever is warned in Romans 2:4. Don't you know that the goodness of God should lead thee to repentance? God is good even to the non-believer. Just think, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is long-suffering towards us. You ask yourself, why isn't the Lord coming today? Because He's a merciful God. And I know that He has His chosen, His elect, and I know about the body of Christ and the bride and its ultimate completion, and we all know and understand about that God knows the day and the hour. But the point is, His apparent delay shows the worth of a soul, because He's giving opportunity to people who have to have space to repent. And He's a gracious God unto us. The call to praise, the cause, for He is good. But now let's look at the confession of our praise. Look at verse 21 of Psalm 107. Psalm 107, let's take a look at verse 21. Here the Word of God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? The Lord is not so much concerned about bullocks and lambs and pigeons and doves and the sacrifices, but He wants the inner spirit of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing unto the Lord. How is it a sacrifice? Because when we learn to be thankful to the Lord and for His goodness, we're actually worshiping Him. And it's a sweet-smelling fragrance before the presence of God when we are suffering, perhaps in some physical illness or a trial and a testing. Listen, when you have bills that are unpaid, or you have a bad biopsy report, or you're facing trials and testings, overwhelmed, unemployment, that is the time, dear saint, to offer the most sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Lord by giving Him thanks. Remember Jesus Christ before He raised Lazarus in John 11. Lord, I thank You that You hear me. And he was giving thanks before the miracle took place. And that is the greatest expression of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is confident expectation. It's the evidence, believing the reality of things not seen. Believing reality before it actually takes place. Because you know what? God's promises are reality. And we can put our faith and trust. So let's offer today, as we share our needs, and as we remember these, let's offer unto the Lord sacrifices. Well, Pastor John, we're under the new covenant. We're not supposed to offer sacrifices. You're right. But a sacrifice of praise and of thanksgiving, the Lord is pleased with that type of spiritual sacrifice unto Him. So there's so much to say here. The sacrifice of praise. And notice it says, and declare His works. The Lord wants you to be a proactive person. You know, in verse 2 it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You think the Lord wants you to be a silent Christian? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, it really bothers me when sometimes I'll run across people that claim to be saved. And you go up to him and say, oh, you're born again. Yeah, I'm a Christian. How did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you ask them for their testimony, and they get bent out of shape. You know what? You can ask me for my testimony 10,000 times. I'll never get upset and get bent out of shape for telling people how Jesus saved me out of the muck and the mire of sin and put me on the road and gave me eternal life. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I sometimes wonder whether people that don't like to give their testimony, whether they were really saved in the first place. Or, well, you know, I'm too formal. We don't believe in this evangelistic stuff. Let's not get too excited about our religion. But then they'll go to a magic game and go ape on the stands. Let me tell you, I don't know of anything to get more excited about than the fact that I'm a child of the King and you're a child of the King. And we can serve the living Savior, and we can be laborers together with God. And He's going to take care of us. And the Lord wants us to declare His wondrous works to the children of men. Then look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raises up the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves. You know what? God is even in the stormy wind. Hurricane Bill, here we come. Someday, when somebody listens to this message, they'll say, Hurricane what? Just like people say, Hurricane Charles and Francis and Ivan. What year was that? You know, what was that now, you know? Well, we remember, you know, I got a new roof out of it, you know, in my house with Hurricane Francis, you know. But now it's Hurricane Bill. You know, Psalm 148 and verse 8. Turn to it. Look at Psalm 148 and verse 8. God is so powerful, we can rest in Him. Psalm 148 and verse 8. You're worried about circumstances in your life and you think that things seem out of control? God's in control. Just trust Him. Psalm 148 and verse 8, it says, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind. Boy, that just about covers a lot, doesn't it? And it says what? Fulfilling His word. The Lord is in charge. And we can be thankful. And we need to confess our praise. We need to confess our praise unto the Lord. Well, our time is about up, folks, but you know what? I want to close with a conclusion regarding our praise. Verse 43 says this, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Are you a wise person? If you're a wise person, you'll see the hand of God behind the adversity. And you'll not only learn to pray, Lord, remove it, but you'll have the attitude, Lord, you're the God of the trial. Help me to learn what you have in my life to learn through this trial and testing. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, dear listener, whether you're listening to this message in our little chapel here or through the internet ministry, what burden are you facing today? For some of you, it was a great sacrifice to even get here tonight. Your heart was broken. Your heart was heavy. Some of you may have not even had the gasoline in your tank. But by the grace of God, maybe you came here on fumes. But you know what? God's going to bless you for it. And let's anticipatively praise the name of God and trust Him. Commit your need unto God. Commit your life unto the Lord. Our Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe you feel like you've been a failure in being a witness this week. Maybe the Spirit of God is convicting you about somebody that you should have witnessed to this week and you didn't. Don't let that happen again. Just don't make provision for it. Have those tracts in your pocket and you dedicate yourself this very morning, Thursday morning, to say, Lord, I'm going to be ready to say so because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I have the greatest message in the world to give out. Oh, we have the call to praise, the cause for praise. And we can thank our God that we can be wise and understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Father, as we go to prayer, the greatest expression of thanksgiving is to realize with thankful hearts the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. And if there's one listening that has never trusted in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Lord, may they come to Jesus Christ. May they receive that free gift, that expression, the greatest expression of love. And Lord, look down upon your children here and those listening to this message, wherever they might be. All in your eternal present, you see your people. And you see the need. And you see what you desire to accomplish. Heavenly Father, instill and provide that strength. Infuse that wavering saint with your grace and power to believe in your promises. And Lord, may each one of us be lifted. Because, Lord, love lifted me, that love of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you are our good God and our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.